This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. This is your hour, HRRN Nation. Call in and talk about whatever you want in the world of thoroughbred racing. Good or bad, we are here to answer your questions or just listen to a little bit of your wisdom. The number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. James, first of all, welcome back. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, my friend.
I did. Thank you, Bobby. Good evening to you and our audience. Hope your Thanksgiving weekend was great and there was lots of good racing. And we're at that time of year where we're slowly creeping towards the new year. We do have some new meets opening. Turfway opened this week. We got Gulfstream Parks Championship meet open Saturday. Then we'll have Oaklawn and Santa Anita the day after Christmas. But a little bit of a slow time of year in horse racing, Bobby.
It's slower, but it's not slow. As you mentioned, they all those great races that take place during Thanksgiving week, mainly at Churchill and out at Del Mar. Great racing coming up this weekend. They've got a monster card Saturday at Aqueduct with four graded stakes highlighted by the Cigar Mile, formerly known as the Naira Mile. Great weekend action both Saturday and Sunday at Del Mar, especially with some stakes that used to be run at the now non-existent Hollywood Park, but they have continued at Del Mar. Hollywood Derby taking place on Saturday, the Grade 1 Matriarch taking place on Sunday, and as you mentioned, other great racetracks that are either on the verge of opening or maybe have just opened. Tampa Bay Downs meet is still very new. Fairgrounds opened recently, and we've got other ones like Turfway that have just opened as well. So a lot of things going on in the racing game. Let's get back out to the phones, or get out to the phones for the first time. Paul in California, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hi, guys. Answer to your question about an hour ago, I would say Wesley Ward for the trainer, the jockey who became a trainer, and possibly Rudy Rodriguez, who's had some good years in New York.
Those guys are good. So, off the top of your head, Paul and James, in case you didn't hear, I was kind of wondering aloud because former jockey, current trainer and owner Randy Persaud had a horse that ran at Aqueduct today, and I kind of wondered aloud, when's the last quote unquote good rider that's become a good trainer? And you know, everyone has their definitions of good. Not, you know, Bill Shoemaker kind of came to mind, but that's not recent. You know, that's 30 years ago or something like that. And Paul mentions Wesley Ward and Rudy Rodriguez. You know, Rudy didn't have a huge riding career. I think he's much more accomplished as a trainer than a rider. Wesley Ward also much more known for training and riding. But would you put them in the category of quote-unquote good riders that became good trainers, or were they just kind of, you know, run-of-the-mill
and
riders?
Other than them, I can't think of another one.
There's got to be one out there. There's got to be one that is so obvious that we're just all missing it.
Yeah, yeah. But I have one more thing. So I've been playing a lot more than usual lately because I've for many reasons, and these late meets like the Churchill meet, especially the big weekend that they just had where they got some bumped-up stakes races, but maybe some horses that aren't on the top of their game. And I noticed a lot, an angle that I've used before, but a lot of times right now, like a horse that jumps three times in a row, 50, 60, 70, or in these stakes races, you know, 60, 70, 80, has been winning a really good amount of those races. And I got a lot of nice winners. I think two or three at Churchill in that Thanksgiving weekend and one or two at Del Mar. So I don't know. I don't play enough to know if that's a trend later on in the year, but I'll be looking for that a little more often.
Wait, I just want you to clarify, because I may be misunderstanding this. Are you talking about horses that are jumping like 10 points in speed figures,
yes,
or each time, or jumping in class level,
yes,
each time?
No. Okay. Like one of the races at Churchill is a horse on the grass that I got about 15-1 on, but he was a 70, and then he was an 80, and then he was an 88, and the buyer par was something in the low 90s, and damn if he didn't beat them. some guys coming a little back to the field like that, aren't retired. They're still trying to get something going.
Interesting. All right, that's an interesting. So you've had some success with horses that just are improving with each and every start, and maybe don't have the speed figures yet to beat the field they're facing, but with another forward move, they would have a chance.
Yeah, and I believe it needs to be three, not just one or two. But when it's three, some of the aqueduct horses recently have had four jumps, and they always win.
Well, that's interesting, and we appreciate your call, Paul. James, is this something you've noticed, like something that may be a little bit different toward the end of the year than earlier middle part of the year with these horses that just, are improving with each start?
I have not, but, appreciate Paul, talking about that. I mean, one thing you're going to get in that scenario sometimes, sometimes you'll just have horses that are running at the same level over and over, but oftentimes you get a horse that's running and taking a big jump in their speed numbers, and their connections are moving them up in class. And sometimes horses are moving up in class because they deserve to be at that level and they're going to be competitive, but sometimes people tend to overlook horses they don't think fit at that level. You get a 14 claimer jump into a 25 claimer. People are worried about whether they'll be good enough, whether or not they're coming off a fast win or not.
All right, let's go back out to the phones. Bobby in Lexington. You've got Bobby and James on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First, a comment. Bobby, you mentioned at the end of the last show about ignorance is bliss, and for the average person about horse racing, that no one in New York would know who in the heck Jorge Navarro was. And I think that showed up on Thanksgiving Day because Churchill, Laurel, and Fairgrounds were absolutely packed, and that was real nice to see. But the reason I was calling about the Remsen, I was just had a chance to look at it, and there's a lot of speed in there. And I was kind of settling on either Moonlight or Sierra Leone, but it's kind of a two-part question. I was just kind of asking you all who you all liked in that race, and if any of these horses do you all think will be an impact on the road to the Derby?
All right, we appreciate your call, Bobby. So Bobby wants to know our opinion on the Remsen, which is race 9 on that power-packed aqueduct card on Saturday. Two-year-olds going the elongated distance of a mile and an eighth, which is a two-turn race at Aqueduct. James, we were going to talk about this race anyway, so what are your thoughts on this race? Who do you like, and maybe prospects for horses going forward as three-year-olds?
Yes, this is a race where yeah, obviously, the morning line favorite in here is Dornick. He's coming off a six-length win at Keeneland, and he's a full brother to Mage, who won the Kentucky Derby this year, is heading into stud next year at Avery Farm. And he, to me, one thing about that race at Keeneland in his third start was, Bobby, a lot of those horses have run back from that race. They haven't performed well. It's been a little bit of a negative key race. One of his main rivals, Chad Brown has two in here, but one of his main rivals is Sierra Leone. And this is a colt by Gunrunner who sold for $2.3 million last spring at two-year-old sale. And last year as a yearling at the phase of Tipton yearling sale. But Sierra Leone is a colt that debuted on the Breeders' Cup Saturday at Aqueduct November 4th in a 1 mile maiden special weight. He was basically taking kickback early from the start. And by the conclusion of the far turn, he rushed up into traffic and was all bottled up. And when his jockey geared him to the outside and upper stretch, it was remarkable to me because he instantly lost a couple lengths because he got real immature, real green. He was tossing his head both ways. He was in and out throughout the stretch. The jockey, my whole point about it is he wins going away by a length and a half. That race is much more impressive to watch on video, on tape, than it is on paper. I think it was a great learning experience for a Colt that just won on raw talent alone and overcame adversity to do so. And I think he's got the potential at least to move forward significantly, relish longer distances, and perhaps be a promising Kentucky Derby prospect for Chad Brown moving forward. So there's definitely a chance. We've seen this Remsen Stakes. You know, the race hasn't produced a Kentucky Derby winner since back-to-back runnings in the 90s with Thunder Gulch or Gopher Gin and Thunder Gulch. But it has produced a couple of horses that were second, Bluegrass Cat and Honor Code in the last, 20 years. And I thought a couple of years ago you had Mo Donegal, Edge, Zandon by a nose. And those are two pretty good colts that were involved in the Triple Crown the next year. So I wouldn't put it past this year's running because it looks like there's some promising individuals in there to have an impact on the Derby preps and Derby scene next year, Bobby.
All right. Interesting. Remsen this year goes as the ninth race on the Saturday card at Aqueduct, one of four graded stakes in a row on that Aqueduct card on Saturday afternoon. Let's go back out to the phones. Gary in Iowa, you're on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Well, hi, guys. Happy holidays to you and yours. How you guys doing?
All good, Gary. You as well.
Yeah, I haven't called in since the Breeders' Cup. I thought I'd let some of them three-year-olds in the Classic cross the wire before I called in, Bobby.
I figured wait a minute. Does James Scully owe you anything? Because I'm fairly certain that half
know.
Of our callers,
Scully,
he owes some
you.
Sort of
okay.
food item,
all
too.
Right. Okay, well, yeah.
Thanks,
no,
Gary.
No, I can't call in and brag about anything because I keep proxy first and second, you ran third. But anyway, as far as you, Bobby, did you get down on Glengarry at 150-1 in the Derby futures yet? The Great Iowa Bred.
No, I'm not. I'm not betting the futures. You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, Gary, because there's so much that can happen between now and then. And, if I were going to play a future wager, it would be on a horse who was a big price like that. You know, playing these all other two-year-olds at, whatever it is,
Absolutely.
6-5 or
yeah.
whatever the number closed at right now, or playing Fierceness at 8-1, it just – there's so much time between now and the Derby, it seems like – I have a lot of other wagers to make between now and then.
Certainly.
And, when it comes to Fierceness, listen, as far as I'm concerned, he was about as impressive a Breeders' Cup juvenile winner as I've seen. Maybe not, maybe he didn't have the move that Arazi did back in 1991, but he was, so fast and the way he did it. Still, I mean, am I right, Gary, have only two Breeders' Cup juvenile winners gone on to win the Derby, Street Sense and Nyquist?
You are right, and you had to rub that Arazi in because that was one of the biggest bets I ever made in the Derby on Arazi. I drank the Kool-Aid then, too, but I just put a few small wagers just to have some fun. Glengarry, he mentioned one of my other – I bet three so far. He mentioned Sierra Leone. He looked like a man amongst boys coming down the stretch, and as much as I don't want to back Baffert, Coach Crime, he moves real nice, too. I bet those, but I had to bet the Iowa Bred, being from Iowa. I mean, he's an Iowa Bred name only. He's Maximum Mischief. He's about as Iowa Bred as AP Indy. But what I was really calling for is when the Breeders' Cup lull sets in and you're getting depressed, Naira goes off the turf, they go to the Poly in Florence, Kentucky. You get a little glimmer of hope with Oaklawn, Tampa, like you mentioned. Fairgrounds is in full swing. And then I pick up the form today for the championship meet, and I see he cards five Poly races and two dirt races on opening day of the championship meet. I mean, I don't know. That's why I called the Great Brain Trust of the call-in show here, because maybe you guys know. But I don't know that it's been this bad before. I don't know what I can see him saving the turf, because it's a new turf course, but is Stronach trying to save the dirt? I mean, this is their bread and butter meat. How can they cart it like this? And I looked a little bit ahead just till Saturday. And it's about the same. They have four, I think they have four dirt races and five collies on Saturday. I don't know. I don't know what they're going through down there. I don't think that brings in the gambling dollar like all the other two surfaces, but I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it and see what you guys think.
All right, well, we appreciate your call, Gary, and I do have a big opinion on this, James, but I'll let you go first on this. Gary said he mentioned that he bet a few of the futures. He bet Glengarry, who looked really good, upsetting one of those minor sprint stakes over at Keeneland last time out after being 2-for-2 at Prairie Meadows, 146-1. He closed for the Derby. Sierra Leone is 36-1. And I think all the Bafferts count as the all other Colts and Geldings. So whether it's Nisos or Coach Prime or any of them, since they're all technically right now not even allowed to run at Churchill Downs until they go to a different trainer, they're in the all other Colts and Geldings and would be at the 6-5.
Yes, thanks for the call, Gary. And I hope you don't think it's like the kiss of death or jinx, but we both got some money down on Sierra Leone. I don't really pay attention to that first pool, Bobby, on Breeders' Cup week, Tuesday to Thursday. I'm too preoccupied with Breeders' Cup. But I like to bet some last out maiden winners or horses that aren't in the stakes that aren't going to be, I think, might offer some decent value. So I bet Sierra Leone and a pair of Belmont horses, Knightsbridge, who got bet down a little bit and was around 20-1, and Parchment Party. And those are three maiden winners. I mean, you know, if Otello had run a couple weeks earlier, he ran last Saturday at Aqueduct, and I loved his race. And I think he could be a contender for Christophe Gaumont. But those are the kind of horses I'm looking for that I think are going to be good moving forward off maiden wins and offer some value, because I don't have to bet a lot on them at this time of year. I can pull two of the Kentucky Derby future wager.
And as to your other part of your question, Gary, regarding the racing surfaces for the beginning of the championship meet, you are 100% correct. And the best way I can tell you, the best reason I can tell you is that the folks who are in charge of that company, one, lied to us, and two, I'm not sure know what they're doing. When the synthetic track was put in, we were told, we being the public, that this would be a track so when races, were going to be rained off the turf, they would be moved to the synthetic track because, turf horses like synthetic in general. The theory that less horses will scratch with the move to the synthetic because it's kinder to turf horses. They'll retain bigger fields, which will make them more money. And we all drank the Kool-Aid, as you say. And that turned out not to be true. Well, first of all, the turf course has been a disaster there for a couple of years, whereas they couldn't even run on the turf course because they keep having to renovate it year after year. They can't run on the turf course from basically the beginning of May until the beginning of December. But still, now that they have a turf course that looks pristine because it hasn't been run on, and you probably read some quotes from some different riders who have worked horses on them. They're all quotes that are press releases from the track, so they're always going to be glass half full, rah rah, everything is great kind of quotes. But it sounds like they think the turf course is going to be good. They are still running regularly scheduled races on the synthetic track, and as you mentioned, Gary, not like one or two a day. Like as many on the synthetic track as they do, if not more, than on either the dirt or the turf. For somebody like me that it does not enjoy playing those races and does not have success playing those races, it makes my handle at that meet go way, way down. Because now, I almost can't play a pick three or pick four without one of those races, if not more, sneaking into the sequence, and I'm just not going to deal with it. So I just won't play the wager. I feel your frustration. Not everyone does. Some people love playing those races. I just happen to be on the other side of it, Gary. I'm not very good at them, so I just don't look at them, and unfortunately, they are here to stay. Even though it was supposed to be a safety valve, and it's become a major thing year-round. At that facility.
You're absolutely correct. I was looking forward to the turf racing coming back this weekend, but you cannot play a pick three without having a synthetic race part of it. They spread it all out throughout the card, and with the exception of like one of the races, they're all like real cheap, like cheap claiming or cheap main claiming races on the synthetic.
For me, listen, I don't have anything against the people who develop this or the synthetic or whatever. It's the same thing I do with turf sprints. I'm not good at them, so I just don't deal with it. It took me years and years of getting hit in the side of the head till I finally realized, hey, I'm obviously not very good at this. So why should I go on with it? And unfortunately, they kind of shove it at you. And it's a little disturbing for me, and it sounds like Gary doesn't love it that much as well. All right, we're overdue for a break. If you're on the line, please hold on. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races and make plans for opening day of the championship meet on Friday, December 1st. Dine trackside in 10 ponds with an elevated view of the track and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free past performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Biddy Jane. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207 or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you like. In the world of thoroughbred racing, the number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Back to the phones we go. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
All good, buddy. When do you plan to collect your winnings from James Scully?
Oh, I don't know. Sometime this spring, probably the Keeneland meet is probably it. I'm not going to go up to Turfway. I don't envision. I always say that. And if I get in the area, I'll be. But, you know, James, I'll let you know when I'm going to, you know, Keeneland. And, you know, unfortunately, you'll have to meet up with me for a minute, put up with me. But I promise I won't talk your arm off or dump nine subjects on you like I do in some of these calls. So I'll try to keep my comments and time of to a minimum.
Hey, you got it, Tom. I'm excited to meet you.
Good. I look forward to it as well, guys. Look forward to it as well. I just got a couple of things. First of all, just want to thank you guys. I know there wasn't a show last week, but just thank you guys for everything you do 52 weeks out of the year. I heard the piece of Kurt Becker, you know, about, you know, that whole equine forum is a great way to spend Saturday as you're driving to the track. And I know sometimes in that last hour that gets overshadowed by the trainer talk, but some of that historical stuff is very good and very interesting. All that I really wanted to say is it's amazing how, you know, sometimes you got two-year-olds that in December are going to run 9 furlongs, and we've got horses that struggle all the way up until May and wonder whether they can get an additional furlong. And, you know, I just think that's, you know, the New York program always boggles my mind how they have a couple 9 furlong races, and then their race before the Wood Memorial, they shift back to a mile and then go to the 9 furlongs again. But just a head scratcher, but that's how they write the condition book, and guys are smarter than me doing that. One last thing. It is the Christmas season. And is there like one charity out there as far as related to horse racing, if I wanted to, you know, send a check to that you guys would recommend? I hate to put you on the spot, but if you could do that, you know, the local track where I'm at's not racing, so there's not really an HBPA to go to or something. But could you guys recommend that for me?
Well, first of all, appreciate the call, Tom. So
thanks.
I'm not affiliated with any of these, James, but the ones that we hear First of all, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund is something that HRRN is very much behind, and I know a lot of listeners out there know of the charity, but maybe just you know, it's something they don't think about on a day in day out basis. That's obviously you know, very, very, it's money well donated going to PDJF. Thoroughbred Aftercare is another one. If you're somebody who is spiritual, there's obviously racetrack chaplaincies out there, but PDJF and Thoroughbred Aftercare are the two that come to mind, James, is just, you know, that everyone I think would have an interest in.
I would agree 100%. Yeah, the PDF, I mean, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, they do great work, and the TAA, the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, you know, for tired horses, it's terrific. And yeah, I mean, there are other good charities out there as well, but those are two good ones to start with.
By the way, speaking of spiritual, it kind of made me laugh when I said that. I, in general, am not a very spiritual guy, but it's amazing how even those of us who are not spiritual, when we are in line for something very good to happen monetarily on the racetrack, how we become spiritual, at least in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. And yeah, I mean, a lot to be thankful for. Glad to be working in an industry love. And yeah, I concur, Bobby.
All right, let's go out to a phone's a guy who I know is spiritual and gracious as far as charitable, and also has a pretty good opinion from time to time. Charles in Mississippi, welcome to the show, my friend.
You know, Bobby, I've been really thinking about you the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to ask you a question that has nothing to do with horse racing. I know you're a big Dodger fan. And how in the world did the Dodgers only win one World Series when you got 3 ball players who now play for other teams who have a shot to be in the Hall of Fame? And I know 2 of them are shoe-ins to be in the Hall of Fame. But that Corey Seager, he's got to be one of the top 3 baseball players in the world, because there's no way around it. I mean, there's just no way around it. And I was sitting up there thinking, how did all these guys play for the Dodgers and the only one? I know it's hard to win a World Series.
But, Charles, how did the Braves only win one World Series?
Well, wait a minute.
With,
no, Charles,
Maddox,
Charles is right.
Glavin and Smoltz. Yes.
Charles. Go ahead.
James. They got robbed in Minnesota.
Oh, my God. That's your answer?
Then,
They had three of the Hall of Fame, like the greatest pitchers of the era, and they won one. I mean, it just happens, I think, Charles.
But see, great pitchers don't necessarily pitch great World Series, James.
But that was the case for the Braves. Yes.
Well, I mean,
why do you bring up the Braves?
Listen, I don't want to get too far into it, and I want to answer Charles's question because I know he wants to talk about racing after this. The Dodgers have one of the best pitchers of all time, and he's awful in the playoffs. Awful. Kershaw's just beyond terrible when it gets to the playoffs. They're the biggest, certainly one of the biggest underachieving franchises of the last 25 years, because they always spend money. They always have good players. They've won one World Series since 1998, and it was the COVID year where it was shortened. So a lot of people don't even think that was true. So I agree with you, Charles. Listen, I wonder how we've only won one. We seem like we have the right players every year, and it just doesn't work out.
Well, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't know this, but Hot Springs, Arkansas, in the 20s and 30s, hosted a lot of spring training teams. The Yankees came there, and my grandfather was a baseball nut. And I will get into that at another case. But a lot of people that go to Hot Springs don't realize the history of the town of Hot Springs in baseball. You know, Bambino probably went to six spring trainings in Hot Springs. And they played games at, I think it's called the old Whittington Park. And they got places where he hit home runs about 28 miles outside the stadium. But anyway, that's a long story short. And next time I get to talk to you about the game of baseball. But a lot of people don't understand, there's only 10 or 15 great ball players at one time, at any time. There's a lot of good ball players, but great baseball players. But that Corey Seager, baby, he really opened my eyes, Bobby. I mean, that guy is a ball player. But it went back to me thinking, and you know, Oakland opens in a week, and I can't wait. And when y'all started talking about the Poly, I used to be a big-time player at Gulfstream. I mean, I would focus. I love the championship meet, but I don't even turn the page anymore. I don't even want to. I tell you, I cannot handicap that Poly, buddy. I mean, it's just beyond me. Beyond me. And Scully, how did you know I was a Braves man?
Hey, pitching wins in the postseason, and that's been the Dodgers, like, you know.
Scully, you're not answering my question. You're not answering my question. Because, see, my grandfather, when he came to this country, he had a little store by a railroad station.
Right.
And he would get papers from up north. And he loved Babe Ruth when he played for the Boston Braves. And so he just followed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Charles.
No, go ahead. I mean, that's why I'm a Braves fan.
If you're a Braves fan and you're giving Bobby a hard time about the Dodgers,
no, I wasn't.
You guys won like 125 games and had two guys that hit 100 home runs almost combined in the regular season, and they got like one hit in the Philly series. I mean, the Braves are more of an underachiever over the last 30 years, Charles, than the Dodgers.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What?
I don't know about that.
I don't either. James, you're wrong about that. But let me go one step further with this. All right. Baseball is the closest thing to horse racing that you can think of, because it's a thinking man's game. It's statistics. It's numbers. I mean, there's a certain way to play baseball. I mean, it takes years to learn how to play the game right. It takes years. But anyway, when I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about Oakland Park, I was thinking about the greatest horse that never won the Kentucky Derby, and I was thinking about a Fleet Alex, and because I followed that horse when he was progressing at Oakland Park, and how that horse didn't win in 205 and Giacomo beat him.
You're talking about horses that ran in the Derby and didn't win it,
right? Right,
I mean, you obviously Flightline would be a better horse than a Fleet Alex, who didn't win the Kentucky Derby.
Oh yeah, but see, I didn't like I said.
He was
you're the
saying
one
they had to come through Oakland, Bobby.
Okay.
I'll say this. Here's why I think that a Fleet Alex did win the Derby, and you know people can disagree with me, but he had a successful 2-year-old campaign, ran second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was a top contender coming in his 3-year-old season. Tim Ritchie trained him, and they hired John Velasquez to be his regular rider. And he came in to Oaklawn and rode him in one of those stakes. And he, like, ran poorly. He ran, like, fourth. But he exited the race with an entrapped epiglottis. And John Velasquez got off of him. And when they brought him back in the Arkansas Derby, I just think Tim Ritchie was under a lot of pressure to win that race because, you know, he didn't want to lose the horse. And he knew how good he was. And he trained him hard. You can go look at his work tab. He, like, drilled 6 furlong bullets before that Arkansas Derby. He won the race by a record margin, like 8 or 9 lengths. And he ran really fast in that race. And I think it sapped some of them in the Derby. Because you could tell me the inside part of the track, but there were other horses that were inside that ran well. And like you mentioned, I think he was good enough to not only be Giacomo, but closing argument, who was second.
Charles, I apologize. We're right up against the break. We're overdue. I got to let you go. Appreciate the call, my friend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I know you're looking forward to opening weekend at Oaklawn next weekend, my friend.
All right, my brothers. I'll be good.
All right.
Thanks, Charles.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more handicapping for some of the big races this weekend, get James's thoughts on the Cigar Mile and the Hollywood Derby and any other race that he might like coming up. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, a little short segment here, but want to talk about some of the big races coming up this weekend. Big cards at both Aqueduct and Del Mar on Saturday. Also, nice card at Del Mar on Sunday. Haven't talked about the Cigar Mile yet. Have you looked at that race? Any interest?
I have looked at that race, and I'm going to make a pick in there. Well, first and foremost, you got Senor Buscador. He's shipping in from California. It'll be his first start in New York. He's the morning line favorite. He's like, he ran in every big race for older horses, I think, since the San Diego in late July. and I'm a little bit dubious of him being one running the closer in here. Accretive and ever so mischievous, ran 1-2, ever so mischievous in the accretive, or first and third, excuse me, in the 49er. I didn't. They came home slowly in that race. I was a little bit not impressed by those two horses and don't want to back them at short odds. I'm going to tab number 11, Hoist of Gold. And I think his form is dirtied up by these efforts in Southern California. I don't even know why they waste their time shipping him out west. But his last two races that weren't in Southern California, at 6 and 7 furlongs, he won. He earned triple-digit speed ratings. He shipped to New York last year and ran a real big second to Elite Power and Allowance at Saratoga. He's won at like 4 or 5 different tracks all east of the Mississippi, and I think he's going to show up and run a big race in there. I will also use Coastal Chaos a little bit in the exotic in multi-race. He's 30-1 on the morning line, but that's the kind of horse I think could factor in this race because I do think it's pretty wide open.
All right, so is this your play of the weekend coming up?
This is my play of the weekend, Hoist the Gold. I was disappointed to see 8-1 on the morning line, but I think David Aragorn is like looking at these triple-digit numbers he's got and are good, at least on the Bristnet speed rating scale, and he pegged him an 8-1. I think you'll get every bit of it. Number 11, Hoist the Gold in the Scar Mile.
Okay, obviously 4 graded stakes on the Saturday card at Aqueduct. Talked about the Cigar Mile and the Remsen. Anyone in the Demoiselle or the Gopher Juan stand out to you?
Well, I thought the Demoiselle, you know, it isn't perhaps the I thought that race was just pretty wide open. I mean, you know, to me, Life Talk is going to take a lot of money off that 4th in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and I liked her a little bit in there, and I wouldn't be surprised to see her run well for Pletcher. But, you know, there's some other horses in there, like lightly up-and-coming types. Didn't really have an opinion in the Gopher Wand. Obviously, it's a lot of the same usual suspects with, like, Gerrymander and Venti Valentine in there against each other.
All right, and then you ship out west. They've got 3 stakes on the Saturday card and 2 on the Sunday card out at Del Mar. Matriarch is the feature on Sunday. They just drew that race today. But the Hollywood Derby is the Saturday feature. It goes as the 7th race on the card. And as usual, you get some East Coast shippers shipping out west and going to try their West Coast colleagues, as it were. To me, James, it seems like the turf horses out east over the last couple of years have clearly been better than the horses out west. And it looks like the morning line is going to lean that way as well. Chad Brown has 2 of the runners in the race, including Program Trading, who was actually a big favorite against Integration in the Virginia Derby when they squared off. Couldn't fend off that horse, who may just be one of the best turf horses in the country right now. Doesn't look like any Integrations that he's going to have to face on Saturday.
I think Integration is going to be terrific next year, and, you know, I think he's like an early pick for, like, champion turf horse. Got a lot to prove, but I'm not too worried about that effort. Chad Brown has won 3 Hollywood Derbies. He's had a lot of success. He's looking to tie Charlie Whittingham for the most ever in the race. Program Trading is a serious contender. You also have, though, you do have some, you know, you have Seal Team, Web Slinger, Silver Knot. I think it's a good betting race. I'm going to take the other Chad Brown, Redistricting, paid almost $200,000 for him as a yearling. I bet it, you know, disappointed him a little bit to have to geld him before his debut because he probably showed some talent. And when he did debut, he won in June by 5 lengths as the favorite. I thought that the Belmont Derby was probably too much too soon for him, but I'd like his comeback win in the allowance race. And I'm going to give Redistricting the edge in the Hollywood Derby with Joel Rosario.
All right, so you'll get a little bit of a price there, especially if he has to go against Program Trading, who no doubt will be the favorite in the race. Redistricting is James's selection in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, Race 7 on the card Saturday out at Del Mar. All right, we'll take our final break. When we come back, still time for some calls, so give us a jingle. 888-966-4776 is the number. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Still time to call in if you'd like. 888-966-HRRN is the number. James, any specials going on this weekend with Twin Spires or BrisNet?
We do. I'm definitely, you know, BrisNet, listen, we've got some reports and things going on with the new Turfway Park meet. Turfway Park, I mean, they saw a thing here recently in terms of field size, win payout, exacted tries, supers, doubles, pick threes, pick fours, first or second in the nation in terms of North American rankings in 2023. So lots of good competitive racing there, lots of value. And we have a handicap reports for that and past performances, clocker reports, data files, and more. BristNet.com, your source of handicapping information. And Twin Spires, we're giving away free money for fairgrounds. We got a $2,500 late pick five promo giveaway. Turfway Park money back promotions. Gulfstream Park daily double. This is a good time of the year because of these new meets open up. Twin Spires will run specials for them. So go there. Make sure you opt in under the offers at TwinSpires.com.
Talked a little bit about some of the big races coming up this weekend, James, but we saw a lot of great races not only last weekend but all last week with the Thanksgiving week cards at Churchill and Del Mar specifically. Closing weekend at Churchill last weekend, of course, one of those Stars of Tomorrow cards. They had four stakes on their card on Saturday. One of them was the Kentucky Jockey Club Honor Marie coming from the back of the pack to win going away. Visually very impressive. What did you think of his performance?
I liked it. I thought his first two races at six furlongs, at seven furlongs were okay. He got up to win by a head going six furlongs. And then he ran second, you know, beat Just Steele in third by open lengths to Otto the Conqueror, who's a real nice colt for Steve Asmussen, I think, going forward. So he figured to relish the stretch out to two turns. He's by Honor Code. It's Damn Never Raced in a Sprint. Was like grade two place. And she's a half-sister to Rule of Law, who ran ran third in the mile and a half English Derby and won the mile and three quarter Group One St. Ledger. So there's all this stamina on his female side. He figures to relish longer distances. And what I liked about him as well, Anna Marie, is that he was like a little bit of a grinder in those sprint races, but he showed a real electric turn of foot. It was a slow three quarter split in 1:13 and change. He was seventh at that point. He was a length in front in upper stretch. So he blew by him to win. He won pretty good. And, you know, he looks okay to me moving forward.
Let's go out to the phones. Paul in California is back. Round two. Welcome back, my friend.
Yeah. I have another completely different topic. So about the jockeys and the IRAT factor. So if I'm going to play a horse, but that jockey moves, I always move with them and take it or leave it. And I've gotten some nice scores, and I've lost a few, but not that many. But with IRAT, I'm wondering now, he's just, the instincts are so good that when he gets, when somebody's got their horse to pop, getting that call and saying, look, this one's going, come here. Because he seems to ride for a lot of different people. But is he that close to where they're just saying, this horse will win with IRAT?
That's a darn good question, Paul. And don't go anywhere yet, because I have a question for you. So I think there are some trainers out there, especially if they're not the billboard name trainers like Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher and Steve Asmussen and Brad Cox and Bob Baffert, the ones who, you know, they don't use the Ortiz brothers that often because maybe they can't get the Ortiz brothers that often, that they have kind of a relationship with the agents that they, you know, when they say, hey, I've got a horse that's going to win, you want to ride this horse. And the agents kind of know which horses belong where, that, you know, they're the ones making the decision a lot of the time on behalf of the riders. But I have a question for you, and we've got a big race that James talked about already coming up on Saturday at Aqueduct, the Remsen for the two-year-olds, and Chad Brown's got two runners in there in Domestic Product and Sierra Leone. And Manny Franco rode both of those horses for their maiden wins last time out, and he's on Domestic Product. But you get Jose Ortiz, who many people would think is a superior rider to Manny Franco, and he rides more horses in general for Chad Brown than Manny does, it seems like. He's on Sierra Leone. So when it comes to something like this, Paul, did Manny Franco have a choice between the two, or was he told that Jose's riding the other one, you're riding this one?
My opinion is Manny Franco has the choice every time first, and because he stays there, and that is the one that would be the more likely winner. And I've got a lot of other Chad Brown winners, but I would, if I had to play one of them, I would be playing Manny Franco.
Interesting. All right, so the Manny Franco one, James, is 10-1 on the morning line, and he looked great breaking his maiden last time out. And the one you like and that probably more people will like is the Sierra Leone, who's 4-1 on the morning line. And with
they paid $2.3 million for him, though. And if he's going to be targeting these like big races moving forward, and there's Manny Franco's been on both of them. I mean, Jose Ortiz, I think you made the point. He's ridden, I don't know too many high-profile horses that Manny Franco has been riding for Chad Brown, whereas, like, you know, Jose, I mean, you can rattle through Good Magic and other champions that he's been the regular rider for. So, I mean, I you know, it's very possible he chose it, but I think it's also possible that Chad Brown chose it.
Yeah, but, I mean, the pecking order to me in New York, Jose's gone a lot. If you see IRAT on it, yes.
But you wouldn't think Practical Move. His next race is going to be, I mean, if he wins that race, I mean, Practical Move, Sierra Leone. If he wins his next race, if he wins that race or runs well in it, his next race is either going to be at the Fairgrounds or Gulfstream, I would think.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, if I'm betting, I got to bet Franco. I go with the jockey and live or die.
All right, appreciate the call again, Paul. Thank you so much.
And I think he's going to get the better price, Bobby. So I 100% don't blame him in that situation.
No, and to be perfectly honest, as far as I can tell, I think they both ran very similarly when breaking their maidens last time out. You know, it, visually it looked better with domestic product because he won by more. But I'm just talking about the speed figures that I kind of put together and look at. I thought they were pretty even. So I was a little bit shocked that one of them was so much lower than the other. And, you know, maybe it's that maybe this is just one of those tough races for morning line maker David Aragona to deal with. But I thought it was an interesting race. I thought both Chad Brod runners had a big chance. Mentioned Honor Marie's big race. What was your opinion of the Seabiscuit last weekend out at Del Mar, where the Phil D'Amato runners ran 1-2-3, and it was the former East Coast-based Easter that beat Hong Kong Harry on his home turf?
Yeah, I mean, I came away, I came away, you know, definitely took a step forward and looked good, and you know, no surprise. I mean, D'Amato, I mean, he's just loaded with the turf runners. He's got some, you know, he's got some nice last out maiden winners in that turf stake at Del Mar, the Jimmy Durante for 2-year-old fillies. He's got a pair of them in there, one from Europe and one that won real impressively, I guess, at Santa Anita. So, you know, he's the top turf trainer on the West Coast, and you know, just flaunted his barn and his horses in that spot. I will also mention real quick, Intricate. She won the Goldenrod at Churchill Downs for Brendan Walsh. She had Pretty Mischievous, won the Oaks last year, and that was a filly. I mean, she beat a pretty nice field. They had some stakes winners, had that Torpedo Anna that was coming off these huge, huge wins. And she looked just had a terrific turn of foot to take a clear lead and rolled home to a 5-length win. So she's a 3-year-old filly that looks like she could be a major player as well next year.
Interesting. Also had a really good race at Aqueduct this past weekend in the Grade 3 Cumley, where, speaking of Manny Franco, he and Raging Sea held off the late run of Julia Shining with Kendrick Carmouche aboard to win by a nose. I was on Julia Shining this past weekend. I can't make up my mind whether she's just not as good as I thought she was going to be, or she actually ran a really good race and just was second best.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can take the glass half full. I thought that was an encouraging effort. It took a big effort by Raging Sea to beat her. You know, she's not a bad, she's no slouch herself. Obviously, you know, it was coming off a real nice win at Keeneland. So, you know, granted, I mean, it was a little disappointing if you were backing Julia Shining, but I thought she ran really well in defeat.
All right, James. Well, we're at that point where it's getting toward the end of the show. This is the time of year. Listen, you're pulled in all different directions. I know you're a company guy, and I know where your bread gets buttered, as they say, and that's with the company that operates Fairgrounds and Turfway Park. But you have a lot of choices this time of year. Obviously, New York runs year-round. We're right in the middle of the Aqueduct meet right now. Gulfstream Park opening up their championship meet tomorrow. Oaklawn Park opening up their big season next weekend. And we're, 4 weeks away from opening day out at Santa Anita. You know, it seems like, you know, we're winding down, but we're really not winding down, my friend.
Oh, no doubt. Going to be watching a lot of races. You know, I follow the stakes races, cover them, write advances and recaps. So I'm all over the stakes action from coast to coast. But, you know, I watched 5 or 6 races from Turfway last night. I'll be watching to see that turf course on Saturday, full stream. And, you know, I'm a big racing fan, so I'm knee deep in a Bobby at this time of year.
Our, my co-host during the First Bet Racing Show, Bob Nastanovich, mentioned that they have a whole new racing surface at Oaklawn as well. Now, it's still a dirt surface, but it's more of a red clay look as opposed to the past. So when you get a new surface like this or a renovated turf course like we see at Gulfstream and eventually another one like we'll see at Churchill Downs down the line, are you someone to watch a race or two before you dive in?
Not necessarily. I'm going to trust my hand.
I love the sickness, buddy. I love – I can't – I'm losing interest at the banks. I can't wait for a few races. All right. We appreciate all of our callers and our listeners. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the BrisNet.com call-in show. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, the degenerate, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great evening, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow here on HRRN.